Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hi, Rachel.
Russia!
This is exciting.
We are doing this podcast. This is real. It feels real now.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Okay, so this is Hall of Shame.
Yes.
And Hall of Shame is where Rechna and I sit together once a week and we talk about the craziest things that have ever happened in sports.
Totally.
There's so many.
Like so many. Mm. So every week, Rachel and I will take turns telling each other a story, a crazy story probably. Be lots of commentary, lots of questions, probably some snark if I know us.
Oh, you do know us. Mm. And these stories, some you're probably familiar with. Maybe you recognize a headline or a name, but there are some that I can guarantee you have never heard of because we did some deep diving.
Yeah, we did.
And we found some crazy ones that are just so bonkers, it's really hard to believe they're true, but they are. And Rechna, can I just say, I'm so excited to be doing this with you.
Me too.
What I like about you is, like, we're pretty different. You know, you have two kids. Mm-hmm. I work in sports. You're a comedy writer.
Yeah. I feel like it's like also just a podcast where you get to watch two people fall in love, you and I. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
I think that it's going to be adorable. Watch our friendship grow.
No, I think so too.
And I feel like when we first started talking, it's like what you and I love about sports. Like, obviously, we love our teams. I'm like all Cleveland all the time.
And we're both Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
fans,
which is exciting.
And they suck. So.
Yeah. Now, it makes sense for me because I'm from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you love them?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. First off, there's no NFL team where I am from. The closest team is the Buffalo Bills, who also have sucked for quite
She's
some time.
She's from Toronto.
I'm from Toronto, yeah. And you know what? I covered soccer for the majority of my career. And I just started covering the NFL like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so when I was starting this new adventure, I needed a team, or I wanted a team. I wanted somebody to root for, and I was doing all of this studying and, you know, really immersing myself in this sport. And it was right when Hard Knocks
was on.
And the Browns were on Hard Knocks
that summer. Even if you're not a football fan, Hard Knocks is
the shit. And I just fell in love with the team and just like they're a bunch of
the
like
energy.
It's like a ragtag.
Totally. It's a
they
real underdog.
Won in forever. And then that first season, Baker comes out, wins the first home game. The beer fridges are unlocked. I'm like, what's not to love about
Everybody's
this team?
So excited. And then they haven't made the playoffs.
And then, you know what? They've kind of crapped the bed the last two seasons, but they've been a really fun team to cheer for and to be upset about. And
totally.
It's just,
Someone from Cleveland who's raising a son, two kids in LA, and their dad is from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So they are like Lakers fans and they're Dodgers fans. And so I don't get to give them the Cavs. I don't get to give them the Indians. But I was like, you can be Rams fans, but you got to be Browns fans too, because that shit builds character.
1,000%.
If you're going to be a Lakers fan, you got to offset that shit by being a Browns fan.
They got to learn how to lose.
Yes. That is why sports is awesome.
Totally.
Because, like, it's this community of people who go through shit together.
Yeah.
And I think, like, whether or not you're a huge sports fan, the stories that come out of sports are super, like, touching and shocking and interesting.
Yeah. Well put.
Today's story
is
about the Olympics, the cold ones.
Oh, I love the cold ones.
Of course you do.
I love the cold ones.
You're from Canada.
What is this supposed to mean?
You
guys probably
it's real on brand for
just
you.
As much snow as we do.
Do you guys suck at the hot ones?
No, we don't suck at the hot ones.
I guess you guys had that
do
like
you guys
one
suck
sprinter.
At the cold ones?
Like, no, we're great at all of them.
Yeah, we have summer and winter.
We're like
Olympics.
Awesome at both.
Dick.
So setting the stage, it's the year 2002. It's the Winter Olympics that were held in Salt Lake City, Utah that year.
Ooh, that was a good year.
Some details of note. Mitt Romney, our dude, was CEO of the Salt Lake City. sorry.
Our guy?
He's the only one. He's the only one who voted correctly in the impeachment.
I got you. I got you.
Some details of note. Mitt Romney was the CEO of the Salt Lake City Olympic Organizing Committee.
Plot twist? Okay.
It's just interesting.
Fun fact.
So anyway, every 4 years, as we just talked about, the Olympics happen. And in the Winter Olympics, every 4 years, we remember that figure skating exists.
And tell that to Elvis Stoiko.
I know.
Why do I know that name?
Why is that the one of all the skaters?
That came from like my stomach.
Yeah. I love that though. He had a lot of pizzazz.
Sure.
Okay. So we remember that it exists and then we get so into it. Mm-hmm. And then it's as if it's like the only thing that matters to us. And we consider ourselves to be experts for a few weeks. So in 2002, the pair skating competition featured a hot rivalry between a Canadian team and a Russian team.
Talk about hot.
I know. The Canadians were Jamie Salle and David Pelletier. Mm-hmm. And the Russians were Elena Berezhnaya and Anton Sikorelitsa.
Ooh.
I'm never going to say those last names
again in the story.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. From now on, they'll be known as Jamie and David, the Canadians, and Elena and Anton, the Russians. Okay, so just some background. Pairs figure skating combines the scores of a short program and then a longer free skate. Okay. And the free skate is worth more than the short program. And in 2002, skating competitions were judged on a 6.0 scale with these like tiny increments deducted or got for different things. And the scale was divided between technical merit, which is how well you execute the routine you're doing, and presentation or performance, which is like a little more subjective, and it takes into account how difficult what you're doing is and like the artistry and all of that. Okay, so you got this hot rivalry coming in. On February 9th, 2002, the pairs competition kicked off, and the Canadians, Jamie and David, came in a tight second behind the Russians after the short competition. But going in the free skate, it was still kind of anyone's game because the free skate is weighted more in the short program. So 2 days later, on February 11th, it's time for the free skate. It's the big one.
Yeah.
And the Canadians go out there. You're going to be psyched about this.
Okay.
They skate to the theme from Love Story.
Okay, what is Love Story? I don't know what Love Story is.
Should we watch it together?
Wait, is it a movie?
Yeah.
Is it like a bomb movie? So this is probably like a really cool thing that they skated to a Love Story song?
Sure.
Who's in it?
Now I'm panicked and I don't remember.
Who's in Love Story? Can anybody know? Literally no one knows. You said it as if it was a cool thing.
Well, whatever. I'm sure it was beautiful.
It's Love Story.
Okay. Right at the top, they come out with this side-by-side double sow cow.
Oh,
I mean,
beautiful.
Right?
And I can picture it in my mind.
Totally. And everyone's stoked because it's like clearly clicking right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
They hit all of their jumps and their spins. And every time he throws her into a jump, she comes down super cleanly. Like, they don't miss a beat.
No, they don't. Because they're Canadian. We were born on the ice.
Sure.
Okay, we were born with skates
on. Wow,
wow, wow. That would be painful for the woman, but.
You're such a homer in this story. But you're not wrong. Yeah. By the end, they have skated like a totally flawless routine.
Right.
And people are like shouting 6.0.
Losing their mind. Yeah, 6.0. Love
it. Anyway. The Canadians crushed it.
Right.
Then it was a Russian's turn, and they came out strong also. But when they did their first jump combo, which started with a double axel, mm-hmm. Anton blew it a little bit.
Here's what set that tense tone of the entire program. He was leaning outside the circle and out of control, and that
classic
is not
Anton.
Like Anton.
I know.
Classic Anton.
He stumbles and he steps out of line. And even though they're, like, skating super fast and their routine is definitely, like, very artistic and complicated, if you're just watching it, it's just not as clean as the Canadians.
Overachievers.
Yeah. I mean.
Why not just, like, stick to something that's gonna be good? Why you gotta show off?
But it's cool. They're doing cool shit. And, you know, but, like, Elena comes out of some of those throws. Mm-hmm. They're not very clean. So, like, even though it's, like, overall great, and honestly, in figure skating, all the differences are always kind of, like, not...
Very minute.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not very minute. It clearly wasn't as perfect as the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing to understand is it was more complicated.
Ugh, so don't give me that.
The question is, do you get a little bit of reward for taking a little more risk?
You should not. You should get rewarded for putting your heart and your soul out there into love story.
For playing it safe is another way to think of it.
You can call it playing it safe, or you can call it a perfect routine.
So people were like, the Canadians were flawless. They're going to win. But
we kind of respect
it was a little up in the air. And as the results were being displayed, it was like super tight. And then the French judge, Marie-Reine Lagoon, was basically the deciding vote. Mm-hmm. And people were kind of sure it was going to be the Canadians, but then she gave it to the Russians.
How did that happen? They won that program. There's not a doubt anyone in the place except for maybe a few judges.
They won just barely.
Okay.
But the thing about it is, it was a surprising result to some. But that sort of like non-unanimous victory is very common in figure skating because the scoring system is subjective and flawed. And there's always that inherent debate between what should be rewarded, a perfect but easier routine or a harder routine that takes more risks, but it has like a tiny mistake in it. Mm-hmm. The point is that people disagreeing on a winner wasn't that controversial. It happened in figure skating.
Right.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
But not this time. Oh. This time, she got crazy.
Oh.
So Marie, the French judge, who just a reminder was the deciding vote, admitted later that night to a fellow judge in a hotel lobby, which is a detail I like because I like to imagine Marie like five Chardonnays in.
Oh,
just like loose
lips.
Couldn't
you just had two?
Uh-huh.
Just keep it to
but
two,
she admitted
Marie.
That the head of the French skating organization had told her to vote for the Russians.
Oh, shit.
And very quickly thereafter, probably when that Chardonnay wore off. She denied saying it, but it was too late.
Hungover in the toilet.
Because the scandal was off and running.
Oh, Russia's after me.
And there was a ton of controversy and media coverage. And at the end, a judgment came down that awarded the Russians and the Canadians a joint gold medal.
That's bullshit. I don't want your cheaty little medal.
But it should be noted that neither of the pair of ice skaters was nearly as up in arms as everyone else.
They didn't really give a shit.
They were like, it's like if they were like, dudes, this shit happens all the time. Everybody calm the fuck
down. Who weren't up in arms? The Russians and the Canadians?
Yeah, the Russians and Canadians were kind of like, everybody calm down.
Yeah, the Russians were like, we just got away with it. And the Canadians like, okay.
Well, the skaters had no idea. This is happening not like the skaters
had.
They didn't have any idea. They had no idea, girl.
Rachna, how many glasses of Chardonnay have you had today?
The skaters had no idea. They don't give a shit.
Okay.
They're busy skating. That's what they do. So much so that a week after this shit went down, mm-hmm. the Russians and Canadians finished out their events skating together as a symbol of unity.
Ugh, Canadians piss me off sometimes.
But like, the Russians
have
did
a backbone.
Too. The Russians did. Because the Canadians are the ones. It's actually the Russians who I feel like, when you think about it, they were the ones who were awarded the gold and then had to like share it with the Canadians.
They were little cheaters. They absolutely knew what was going on. They absolutely knew what was going on.
I don't think the skaters knew what was going on.
Okay.
How many Chardonnays have you had?
More than five.
Even though the actual figure skaters weren't all that rattled, the media was on fire about it.
People love drama.
I mean, it was like all over the American news, and there weren't even American skaters in the mix. Which, you know, come on, guys. But that's what happens at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening is Marie and the head of the French skating organization, Didier Galhugue, which, again, I can't. All these names were eventually suspended for 3 years each. They both said they'd fight the suspensions, but neither ended up doing so. So that was kind of like what happened in the Olympics. And it's kind of like, that's weird, but that's not crazy. You're probably like, why are you telling me this story?
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It gets crazier?
It gets crazier. So after the scandal, first of all, the judging system, which had been under fire in the past, but it was like completely overhauled to prevent this sort of thing from happening again. Marie said she was a scapegoat for the organization to finally look at something that was broken. So she has always said, you were protecting the old guard who was holding up this system that was flawed, and now you're using me as a scapegoat to make a change. And she feels like she was thrown under the bus. Mm-hmm. That said, like, her ass had too much wine. Poor Marie. I don't even know if she's drinking wine, but I love picturing that.
I love that you've just deemed this woman like a semi-alcoholic.
Hearing
who just
that it was in a hotel lobby, I just feel like if you're hanging out in a hotel lobby, you're drinking a Chard.
You couldn't have given her more than a Chardonnay, like made her look a little cooler. Like, what about a martini?
Oh, girlfriend, Chardonnay's like my drink of choice.
Chardonnay's trash.
Chardonnay's
really?
Delicious.
Oh, I hate Chardonnay.
But here's where it gets like super weird. And maybe my guess is, I don't think the skaters knew, but I feel like definitely the judges and people knew some shady shit was going on here because we get to know more about the Russians. So in August of that year, Russian mobster, guys.
Why did you pick a story with the hardest names in the world?
I know. Alimzan Toktuk.
He's going to hear this and be so pissed.
He's going to come after me. Here we go.
You're done for. Fine.
Russian mobster Alimzan Toktuknyov. We're going to call him Alec, which is what he was known as. Okay. In August of that year, Alec was indicted for his role in the scandal by none other than then U.S. Attorney James Comey.
Oh, you know that name.
You know that name. So the reason Comey even knew to look into Alec in the first place, because it's kind of like, what?
Yeah, random.
Was that Alec was like living in Italy, dipping his bread in olive oil as you do, doing mob stuff as you do.
Is dipping bread in olive oil part of mob stuff?
I don't know. It's just like the two
maybe
things.
I want to be a part of the mob now?
I that definitely like think of Italy. Those two things come to mind.
Or do you just go to the wild. Olive Garden too many times a week?
Do I know anything about Italy? So the Italian authorities were intercepting calls because he was doing mob stuff.
Oh.
And they tipped off the FBI because they overheard a call in investigating the mob stuff. Mm-hmm. They overheard a call where they mentioned the Olympics.
Ooh.
And they were like, hey, man, we know you guys have a scandal. Heard this. Check it out.
Imagine stumbling upon that, just like listening average everyday mob stuff, dipping bread in olive oil. And then all of a sudden they mention
like,
this like jackpot scandal.
Yeah. Wow, wow.
Ooh.
So this dude, Alec, we now know has ties to our very own president.
Of course
Donald
he does.
Donald John Trump.
Oh.
And the reason this is relevant is just to get some context that he's not like a B-level mobster who's just like really big figure skating fan. But if we know he's connected to Trump, we get that this guy's super shady and evil and up to no good.
Sure.
He had two gambling rings that were busted by the FBI on the 63rd floor of Trump Tower. And then later he was at Trump's 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow. So I think I just found it interesting in sort of a big picture way that all these connections in these stories are with people who are in the news today. And specifically in the case of Alec and Trump, it really serves to illuminate just how like shady and dirty Alec is. But the story is that Alec supposedly arranged a quid pro quo between the Russian and the French judges where they'd vote for each other's skaters in different competitions. He did all this because his French visa had expired and he wanted to leverage. He wanted like leverage to get an extension, which is like, I don't know how.
Honestly,
is that how visas work?
I've had two visas get declined before. I would have leveraged anything at that point.
I mean, I guess he'd been forced to leave France because they didn't renew his visa. Likely due to the fact that he was a fucking mobster. And I guess he just like really loved Paris and wanted to make sure he could like be there. I don't know. So it's like a crazy story. And just so you're not worried, Marie.
I am very worried about Marie.
Just so you know, after serving out her suspension, she decided not to judge again. And she now finds peace running.
Hold on. She decided not to judge again?
This queen.
No, 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 no. That's not how it works, Marie. You're not allowed to come back.
She now finds peace running a relaxation center in Strasbourg. So.
Okay, so I guess we're going to Strasbourg because I want to hang out with Marie.
But let's talk about this story. First and foremost, the craziest thing about this story to me is that like it's just like this crazy sports scandal, but it started because a Russian guy wanted to like hang out in France.
What is with the Russians?
It's like the smallest
tampering
state.
With the Olympics.
The Russians,
they can't stay away.
Girl,
it's their
what is
drug.
It with the Russians tampering with literally everything? To me, the small stakes of this is so hilarious. You're like, dude. And also, it's like, the Olympics is so shady.
Oh, first off, the Olympics are so shady. Like, they cannot stay away from scandals.
God.
The Olympics, the Paralympics, like, every single competitive competitive. So, it's insane. Every single competitive tournament that involves the world, people are like, we got to cheat.
It's crazy.
We got to be the better country.
If the Russians are meddling in figure skating, of course they're meddling in our election.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Why stop at figure skating?
I mean, the lowest stakes on planet Earth.
Yeah.
So the question for me here is like, why did this time blow everything up? When you think about it, it's always been controversial in skating. Probably there's been cheating, but it's always like every fucking time I watch a thing, they're like, well, I don't know why. It's always controversy around who won because it's like you don't know what to reward. When someone tries to do something that's harder, in general, it's going to be less flawless. What are you rewarding? Like perfection but ease? Or it's so interesting, I think, in life, to be honest, why there's these things that kind of go on. It's like status quo. And then one time the same thing happens and it all blows up.
People have just had enough.
Yeah. And we don't go down this road at all. But like I remember even when Kaepernick kneeled, like he wasn't even the first guy to sit out the anthem, but that one really blew everything up.
Right.
And it's just like interesting to think about when that happens in sports. You know what I mean? It's like concussions. Like they're having it and then it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that moment in society or in the world where like shit just gets crazy all of a sudden. They could have reformed skating at any point. They needed to, but they used this moment. So
do you think it's because the U.S. picked it up that all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, we can't keep on keeping on.
Yeah, we can't keep on keeping on like everybody saw.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting.
The U.S. found out.
Us knows.
They're not even in the competition. I don't know why I just became serious.
Yeah, and like why did like the U.S. care so much? It's just interesting.
Because they probably had nothing else going on and I miss that.
That's like an interesting question. Like is it sometimes it's because it hits right at the moment. It's like right what's happening in the world. But sometimes is it literally just that
nothing else
is going on. So all of a sudden everybody like latches on.
It could also be that the U.S. had nothing to do with it. So they were like, ha ha, look it. If we were in the final, this wouldn't be happening. But Russia and Canada.
Maybe. They were very pro-Canadian.
As they should be. We did nothing wrong. We just had an easy routine.
I mean, I'm going to say my take on that is that I would always reward difficulty.
Same. Absolutely. Same. Yeah. We played it safe. And that's why we lost.
But then you won because you got
to
share the
gold. No, I'm not accepting that gold medal. I'm not accepting your hand-me-down gold medal.
There's this like hilarious picture of when they skated together, the Canadians and the Russians. So there's like four of them because this is pairs and they're like intertwined. And you're just like,
why?
This is fucking weird.
Who created figure skating? Like how did that come to be? You're playing hockey and then all of a sudden somebody started dancing?
I would guess that ice skating and figure skating came before hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good thing I've got a computer in front of me because I'm going to look that up. Because,
like, you had ice. People learned how to skate on ice. You figure out how to do tricks on ice. Later, there's sports that have balls and sticks. I'm going to guess skating came first. Like, Russian.
Excuse me?
Like, Russians, like, thousands of years ago or whatever. Like, pre-Russians, whatever. It wasn't a nation state back then. You know what I'm saying. You're not going to find this.
Early history of ice skating. Research suggests that the earliest ice skating happened in southern Finland.
Sure. That checks out.
Also, who put that together? Like, I'm going to take a blade and then dance across this frozen pond.
They were probably like, how do we get across this pond? This is where we live.
Yeah,
we
got to
get food.
People.
But maybe they need to find a way to get faster. I don't know. People are smarter than us. Just because you and I wouldn't come up with ideas.
I don't know why people are so obsessed with the Olympics.
It's
I really
wild.
Don't get it.
And also, like, literally the day the closing ceremonies happen, like, your people's brains forget figure skating even exists.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, they're like, huh, what?
Yeah. All I remember is Elvis Stoico.
Oh, my God.
The only thing.
Christy Yamaguchi?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, think.
Well, whatever. That's my crazy story. It's just so wild.
It is really wild.
It also was ultimately just about this mobster wanting to get his visa renewed. And I was like, is that what happens? Like, you can go to the visa office and be like, hey, man,
I
rigged
helped
it.
You guys
I helped some French win. And like, they're like, well, you cheated. I don't. Yes, you can
have a
visa.
I don't know how that worked out. But to be honest, visas are hard to come by. Okay. Just because you're American and you already live here. I know this is a France situation, but it's very hard.
It's hard.
I got two declined.
Whoa.
And I'm a sweet person. I've got no backstory. I shoplifted once.
Really? the kind of last thing that comes up for me is like, so this became huge in the American press. They were like, what the fuck?
Obsessed.
Maybe there's some post-Cold War shit. I don't know. But the thing that comes up for me is like, we're hearing this funny story. James Comey, Mitt Romney, like all these people, right? Like, I miss the times when we could be up in arms and those dudes were in stories that were silly like this, that was light. It's not like those dudes are in stories today where we're like talking about the end of our democracy.
The end of the world sometimes, literally.
Like, I want to go back to a time where American media is so unsaturated with like all the horribleness that they're like, you know what? All we got for the news cycle today is this fucking crazy like Canadian-Russian thing that has nothing to do with us. That's,
and when that stuff's on the news, so I cannot turn it off. And right now, I cannot turn on the news.
I know. See? We just want to go back there.
We just want more scandals that don't involve
the end of the world. I want to go back to a time.
Can people just, like, cheat more?
In things that don't matter.
Yeah, in things that
in
don't matter.
In low-stakes ways.
In low-stakes ways.
I miss those low-stakes days.
So, Rechna.
Yeah, girl.
Basically, the gist of this story. Let me see if I can lay it all out here, because this one was a ride.
Okay. Yeah.
A Russian mobster fixed this figure skating Olympics competition so that the French would vote for the Russians would vote for the French, and this was all so that that Russian mobster could get a French visa?
Truly a sentence never stated in the history of the world.
And also, we would know none of this unless our girl Marie got drunk in a hotel lobby on Chardonnay.
Which, I'm going to be honest, probably made that up, but it just seems like a fun
detail.
Okay,
let's just go with it.
Let's
like
believe
she
it's real.
Was chucking back Chardonnays.
Yeah. Well,
we've all been there.
Chardonnays or not, that is the story of the 2002 Winter Olympics figure skating scandal.
Beautiful.
That rocked the world.
Yeah.
I can't wait to skate into next week to see what the story will be. I'm sorry.
This is me getting up and leaving.
Why did I do that?
This is me taking off my headphones and leaving.
No,
them.
Fair.
Hall of Shame is a product of Crooked Media. This show is produced by Caroline Rustin and Allison Falzetta.
Our executive producers are Sarah Geismer and Stephen Hoffman. Engineering and sound design by Charlotte Landis.
Thank you to our video and digital team, Matt DeGroot and Elijah Cohn, and to Sydney Rapp and Brian Semmel for production support every week.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.